to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
This morning on the Pit Lane Parlay Experience with Harding Steinbrenner Racing, we are joined by Heath. Heath, you are a mechanic for Harding Steinbrenner, if I got that correct, right?
Yes, I'm a floating mechanic for Harding Steinbrenner Racing. Absolutely.
So, on a weekend basis, what are you doing day by day, hour by hour?
Well, I float from the front of the car to the back of the car, so I'll help with the front of the car and anything that, once we're done up front, then anything that needs help with in the rear, I do. And if we're doing a motor change or anything like that, I'm responsible for the left-hand side when we do motor changes.
How long have you been in IndyCar and, you know, some of the teams you've worked with? And
I've been in IndyCar. This is my fourth year. I took a break from it. Started in 99 with Bentonhausen Motorsports. Was there through 01. Then had a family. So wanted to take a break and raise my kids. And then I got back into it this year. Absolutely love it. So
you know, we've mentioned this in other interviews we've done with the team this year. You know, you're a pretty veteran crew for the most part, and you have a 19-year-old driver. What's it been like this year working, you know, with Colton, seeing him grow as a driver for the last couple months?
Oh, it's been fun, real fun. You know, seeing a progress of growth, and, you know, he's very good. He makes us look good, and, you know, it's ecstatic. You know, we're just having a lot of fun running up front and doing our job, you know, making sure the car's right and everything goes smooth.
I haven't asked this question before, but how detailed is Colton in terms of, you know, race car feedback throughout the weekend? I know some drivers are quiet when they're younger, but I get the feeling that Colton's pretty detailed in what he wants from the car.
Yeah, he's very detailed from what I gather. That's one thing with the new systems and stuff on pit road. We don't get to hear a lot of that. But from what I've heard, he's very detailed. He's almost sounds like he's a veteran already.
When you look at this team, and I would say, you know, as young as your driver is and everything like that, that you guys have really exceeded a lot of people's expectations for this year, 9 straight top tens. I mean, it just seems like this team is just progressing so well. Is that just the combination of the team and the driver and everything's coming together as every week goes on?
Absolutely. I think the team's coming together as a whole, and we're all starting to feel each other out, and it you know, it's exciting to see. I mean, each week we continue to get better and continue to run up front, so it's very exciting for us, and, you know, couldn't be happier to be a part of this. I mean, it just feels like it's special. You know, there's the environment's good here. I mean, it's great.
So we asked Colton this a couple weeks ago, and whoever I talked to a couple weeks ago, his name is now escaping me. We're just past the halfway point in the season. Colton was pretty tough on himself when we asked him to give him a letter grade. I think he gave himself a B or a B+. How would you describe Colton and the team's first half of the year, maybe in, you know, overall, and if you're going to give your team a letter grade?
I'd say it's a B+. I mean, we're always looking to improve and always looking, you know, to looking for ways to get better. But, you know, I think as a whole, I mean, each weekend we come in, you know, we know we can run up front, and we're looking to compete up front, you know, and we have that belief that we can win each weekend. So that's what we come in feeling, and we're all positive, and we're looking to finish strong in the second half of the season.
You guys went through that bad patch, and it wasn't really always your fault when you went through that Long Beach Indy GP, that stretch. How hard was it to keep the team's morale up during that, and also how good is it that you guys made it through that rough patch, and like you said, team's really getting better and starting to peak right now?
You know, it was difficult, but there's a lot of great people on this team, and we just kept telling each other that, you know, we're doing it right. We continue to look forward, and not dwell on that, but continue to look forward and just keep doing what we're doing. Cause we were running up front. We are running up front, and that's how we got through it. I think, it was good cause not good, but, we continued to learn, we fought through that adversity. I think it helped, with the growth of the team, and we continue to move forward.
And from Colton's standpoint, when you look at how young he is, how impressive was it that he bounced back as quickly from that little stretch as he did?
Very impressive. He continues to amaze me. In the stuff he does on the track and how quickly he moves on, and forgets it and just keeps moving forward. He's truly amazing. For a young driver and a rookie.
He's definitely a mature kid despite being, 19. Taking a step back from the current day, you mentioned you got started back in the late 90s. What drew you to the mechanic side of thing versus either driving yourself or pursuing, anything else?
Well, it was really when I was 8. I remember going, my grandfather took me to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I was sitting on the track or up in the grandstands looking down. I saw the guys working on Rick Mears' car, and I saw pit stop practice, and I was like, I knew right then that's what I wanted to do. And since then, I've always trying to be getting in it, and finally got in it in 99, and I set a goal to get back to it, and still looking to improve and keep moving forward and get better each day. So
when you started back at, I think you said Benthausen in 99, were you a mechanic back then? Describe your different roles that you've gone through over the years.
I was a front end started as a float mechanic, then became a front end mechanic, and did for 2000 and 01, I was over the wall. I did inside front, inside rear, and then outside rear on Jordan's car.
When you look at, of course, obviously you're a fan of the sport, but when you look at what the racing was like then and the competition level, what's that compared to since you've seen it from then when it was just a little bit below that mid-90s right. peak and then compared to now? What's it like now compared to then?
I think it's very similar. It went through that transition from kart to IRL and then IRL, and then now it's the NTT series, and I think the competition's very strong. If you look at the track speeds and the where it's at on the leaderboard, you're separated by thousands and hundreds of a second, so it's very competitive, and everybody's got to bring their A game, and you got to really strive to find speed in the car and make the right changes, and it's I couldn't be happier. It's a great sport, and everybody says that. I think this sport's growing, where a lot of maybe other series are struggling, I think this sport's on the rise, and couldn't be happier to be a part of it.
I'm going to take another step back and ask a question here. Your most memorable race, whether it be a win or just a race that always sticks out to you as an achievement.
I would say in 01 with Jourdain at Michigan, we were racing for the win with against Frank Keady and I believe it was Carpentier, and we ended up finishing third, but that was an absolute blast. So
those Michigan races were a lot of fun to watch. If you can find them on YouTube, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's one of Michigan Fontana. It's they're great tracks, and maybe someday we'll get back to them, but always had great racing at Michigan Fontana. Great oval races and very, lots of lead changes.
Yeah, I think we all here would hope for a Fontana comeback at a minimum if we're going to pick one of the two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like a lot of people, we're all the same way, as that we started out as fans of the sport, and when you think about, like you said, being 8 years old and sitting in the stands and doing what you're doing today,
I keep looking back and thinking, I'm like, man, how if I could tell anybody anything, don't give up on your dreams. You may have setbacks. You may have changes, but keep pushing forward because you never know. I mean, you never know how you're going to get there, you know, and it's all part of climbing that mountain, you know. And I think that helps when you get here. I mean, because it's a mountain climb for wins and championships. I mean, sometimes you struggle and then you get a win or you fight through that adversity and get a championship and, you know, it helps.
Yeah, lots of late nights on our end as well. At least editing every week can be very tiring, but very rewarding when you get to come to a racetrack every weekend and do what you love. So let's see here. We're in Toronto. Weather looks beautiful outside, and it's not 98 degrees like it was last year here. So I personally am very happy about that. What makes this track so challenging? The narrow confines.
I would say it's not only the narrow confines, but you know, the bumpiness of the track. You know, it's a street course, so it's what everybody drives on. You know, and that makes it challenging for grip and speed. So, I would say that's the most challenging for it. Absolutely.
Indy aside, because we all know, you know, that's everybody's favorite choice. But outside of that, what's your favorite track on the schedule?
I would say I have. As far as you know, racing aspect wise, I'd have two. Long Beach is a favorite. Long Beach is a favorite of mine as far as street courses go, and then Texas. I mean, there's always good route, you know, good racing in Texas, and you know, I'm a little bit of a oval fan. I mean, I like the speedways and the short ovals. I mean, as long as you know, I miss the Milwaukee Mile. I mean, you know, there's always good racing at the Milwaukee Mile, you know. And it's challenging because you get these high-speed cars, you know, on them short ovals, and a lot of people have to, you know, makes it tight and challenging. So that's what I like.
I know my dad would agree with you. Shout out to Dad. Hope he's feeling better resting at home today. You know, we have a short oval next in Iowa next weekend, and then we have a natural road course in mid-Ohio the week after that. So it's a crazy stretch in the next couple weeks. How do you not look ahead? Because it's easy to do that when the races are 6 days apart.
You just try. It's part of a mental mental program I go through, but you know, you just stay focused on the now and do each day as it comes, and that way you're focused on the day-to-day operations and not trying to look ahead. It's hard not to do sometimes, you know, especially when you get back to the hotel and you're kind of winding down. But we try to do day-to-day focus and focus on each session, you know, do it session by session and then, you know, race by race.
I'm going to wrap it up with one more question here. Again, thanks for joining us this morning, Friday morning before the weekend gets started here. If you're going to predict where Colton's going to finish this weekend, how are you feeling? You know, let me rephrase it this way. How are you feeling about this weekend, you know, before practice has even started?
Very good. You know, top five, top ten. You know, that's where I predict.
Yeah, I mean, he's qualified in the fast six almost every race, I think. So I think you're in for a good shot.
Yep. Absolutely. Look forward to this weekend, and thank you guys for the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.